Welcome back to the lab. Sources have been removed from this recording for compatibility with listening. Visit quantumdisciple.com to view the sources in detail. Section 0.0. Preface, the identity protocol. To the reader investigating the core logic, in Christian theology, the identity of Jesus of Nazareth is the root directory that everything else depends on. If you get the identity of the central figure wrong, the entire system breaks. The core question in this audit is simple in form, but deep in what it implies. We are not just picking between labels. We are choosing between two very different ontos, L-O-J, each cool realities. First, view A, the sun as a lesser, created, or derivative being. Inference. Second, view B, the sun as the eternal, uncreated architect of the system, sharing the divine nature with the Father. Inference. One possible outcome of this audit is a Trinitar e un synthesis, where Son of God and God Himself are not contradictions, but fit together in a coherent, onto L-O-J-I cool way. Inference. Section 0.1, the methodology, the audit protocol. To keep radical forensic honesty, QTM-207 follows the Bayerian protocol, examining the scriptures daily to verify the data. We obey the command to test everything, hold fast what is good. This posture of careful testing is not a modern idea. It is built into the Bible's own approach to truth. First, the investigative precedent, explicit. Quote, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. End quote. Second, the reasoning protocol, explicit. Quote, as was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. End quote. We use a strict tagging framework to stay intellectually honest. Explicit in brackets means direct statements from the source code, scripture. Inference in brackets means conclusions drawn from the explicit data, tested for consistency. Citations in brackets means historical logs from outside scripture that help us see how the earliest communities understood and practiced the faith. For example, we will consult the testimony of Pliny the Younger, historical log citation, who noted that early Christians sang a hymn to Christ as to a god. Letters 1096. Pliny uses Roman categories, inference, but his report still shows how early Christian communities spoke and acted. We will compare this with worship patterns inside the source code, such as every knee bowing to Jesus and the Lamb receiving worship alongside the Father. The Son of God category. A key part of this audit is defining what the title Son of God means. The source code uses this title in multiple ways. For angels, for Israel as a nation, for Davidic kings, and for believers. QTM-207 will test whether Jesus' sonship is mainly a role and representation, or whether it is onto L-O-J-A cool and unique. A special focus will be the one and only, monogenēs, language applied to Jesus. Our aim is to follow what the Bible actually says, not what we would prefer it to say. We will steel man both the sub or dichne shunist argument and the ontological argument, and then make a ruling based on which one best fits the full data set without forcing the source code to contradict itself. Section 1.0, Section 1, the data set audit. Section 1.1, the architect data set, high Christology. The architect configuration claims that Jesus is the uncreated eternal source of the system. The following source code, explicit data points, set the baseline for full deity. First, the root directory explicit, quote, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, end quote. Second, the agency specs, explicit, quote, Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. End quote. Third, the revealer protocol explicit. Quote, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. End quote. Fourth, the unity claim explicit. Quote, I and the Father are one. End quote. Audit note, inference. The neuter one, hen, points toward unity of essence or action, rather than saying the Father and Son are the same person. Fifth, the Alpha and Omega chain, explicit. Quote, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. End quote. Quote, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. End quote. Quote, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. End quote. Audit note, inference. First, Alpha and Omega is directly used of the Lord God, where the Almighty. Later, the one who says he is coming soon and personally repays each person claims the same title. In the immediate context, that coming one is identified as Jesus. If Alpha and Omega belongs to the Almighty, and Jesus claims it as the one who is coming soon, then Jesus is being included within the identity of YHWH. Sixth, the image and agency specs, explicit, quote, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created. End quote. Skeptic alert, inference. On the surface, firstborn over all creation can sound like Jesus is part of creation. The audit flags that prototokos can also mean supreme heir or preeminent over, not first created, similar to how firstborn is used for David. Seventh, the exact representation, explicit, quote, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word, end quote. Eighth, the divine address, explicit, quote, but about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, end quote. Ninth, the kenosis log, explicit, quote, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, end quote. Tenth, the sharp construction, explicit, quote, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, end quote. Audit note inference, the Granville Sharp pattern is often taken to mean God and Savior refers to one person here, Jesus Christ. A similar construction appears elsewhere in the New Testament. 11th, the climactic confession, explicit, quote, Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God, end quote. Audit note, inference, Jesus does not correct Thomas. He receives the address, my God, ho theos mau, which functions as confirmation inside the story. 12th, the ego Amy pattern, explicit, the quote, I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am he. Ego Amy, you will indeed die in your sins. End quote. Quote, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. Ego Amy. End quote. Quote, I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he. Ego Amy. End quote. Audit note. Inference. The repeated I am language without a clear predicate mirrors God's self-identification language in Isaiah. This suggests the I am claim is a recurring pattern in John's material, not a one-time accident. Section 1.2, the subordinei shun data set, functional hierarchy. The audit must also account for the subordinei shun data, explicit, which skeptics use to argue that Jesus has a lesser or dependent status. refers to the knowledge limitation, explicit, quote, "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father," end quote. Second, the growth log, explicit, quote, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man," end quote. Audit note, inference, this creates a real tension. How can a fully all-knowing being grow in wisdom? This data point becomes central later when we test the two natures explanation. Third, the dependent agency explicit, quote, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing," end quote. See also the surrounding statements in the same passage. Fourth, the granted life, explicit, quote, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself," end quote. Audit note, inference. Skeptics argue that the word granted implies beginning or dependency. This audit tests whether the language points to a moment in time or instead to an eternal relationship. The Father is the fountain of deity, and the Son eternally receiving life without any starting point. Fifth, the final subjection explicit, quote, "When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him so that God may be all in all," end quote. Section 1.3, the identity link, the I am protocol. This section audits the explicit link between Jesus and the YHWH identity of the Old Testament. First, the divine name echo, explicit, quote, "Very truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am," end quote. Source code link explicit. This directly echoes the name revealed to Moses, "I am who I am." Second, the interpretive data point, explicit, quote, "At this, they picked up stones to stone him," end quote. Inference. Their immediate reaction suggests they heard his words as a claim to the divine name, not merely as a claim to be older than Abraham. Third, the explicit blasphemy log, explicit, quote, "We are not stoning you for any good work," they replied, "but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God," end quote. Inference. This removes most ambiguity. His contemporaries understood his claims as claims to deity, not just to prophetic authority. Fourth, the pierced one identity match, explicit. Quote, "And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced," end quote. Quote, "As another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced," end quote. Audit note, inference. In the Old Testament text, YHWH is speaking, "They will look on me, the one they have pierced." The New Testament applies this directly to Jesus at the cross. This creates a direct identity link. YHWH speaking in the first person, and Jesus being the one pierced. Fifth, the worship protocol, explicit, quote, "That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord," end quote. Source code link, explicit. This echoes an Old Testament statement where every knee bows and every tongue swears allegiance to YHWH. Audit note, inference. The source code is clear that worship belongs to YHWH alone. When the New Testament applies that exclusive worship pattern to Jesus, it signals a deliberate inclusion of Jesus within the identity of the one God. Sixth, the honor equivalence, explicit, quote, "That all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him," end quote. Audit note, inference. The phrase "just as" signals equivalence, not merely resemblance. If the Son is to receive the same kind of honor as the Father, this presses toward inclusion in the divine identity. A created being cannot receive honor just as the Creator without violating the worship boundary established elsewhere in Scripture. Section 1:4, the sonship taxonomy. The title Son of God must be tested against its broader usage in the system. First, angelic sonship, explicit. Quote, one day the sons of God, B'nai HaElohim, came to present themselves before the Lord. End quote. Second, the angelic contrast, explicit. Quote, for to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have become your father? Or again, I will be his father and he will be my son. End quote. Audit note, inference. This passage directly contrasts Jesus' sonship with angelic sons of God. It cites older texts and then says no angel ever received that kind of address. That sharpens the difference between generic angelic sonship and Jesus' unique sonship. Third, national sonship, explicit. Quote, then say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says, Israel is my firstborn son. End quote. Fourth, royal sonship, explicit. Quote, I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. End quote. Fifth, believer sonship, explicit. Quote, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. End quote. Sixth, unique sonship. The monogenes variable, explicit, quote, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only monogenes son, end quote. Comparative monogenes, explicit, quote, by faith Abraham was about to sacrifice his one and only monogenes son, end quote. Lexical audit, inference. Isaac is called monogenes, even though Abraham already had Ishmael. That shows monogenes is not mainly about only child ever born, but about unique, one-of-a-kind heir. This blocks a simplistic argument that only begotten must mean the son had a starting point in time. Section 2.0, Section 2, the subordinationist argument. View A, the hypothesis at View A, argues that Jesus is the Son of God in a literal derivative sense. He is the Father's supreme agent, the Messiah, and the highly exalted Lord, but he is ontologically distinct from and subordinate to the one true God, Yahweh. Under this configuration, Trinitarianism is treated as a system error that confuses the sender with the sent. To steelman this argument, we must audit the explicit texts that establish distinction, limitation, and hierarchy. Yay. Section 2.1, the only true God constraint. The strongest argument for View A is the exclusionary clause found in Jesus' own prayer. View A claims that if Jesus meant to identify himself as God, this definition creates a conflict. First, the definition of the Father, explicit, quote, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, end quote. Skeptic aware, note inference, both skeptics and Trinitarians point out that elsewhere true God language is applied to Jesus. View A must argue that this statement defines the Father as the only true God in a way that is not canceled out by other passages. This tension is logged for deeper analysis later. The argument, inference. Jesus identifies the Father, you, as the only true God. By using the word only, he appears to exclude all others, including himself, from that specific ontologikul category. View A reads this as Jesus placing himself in the category of the sent agent, not in the category being defined as the only true God. Second, the mediator distinction, explicit. Quote, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. End quote. The argument, inference. This sets up a strict distinction. One God on one side and mankind on the other. Jesus is the mediator between them. A mediator is distinct from the parties being connected. View A also notes that Jesus is described as the man Christ Jesus after the resurrection, suggesting an ongoing ontohelo-je-ikul distinction. God remains God. Jesus remains the glorified human mediator. Section 2.2, the hierarchy protocols. View A argues that the source code consistently shows a chain of authority that does not stop with Jesus' earthly life, but continues into eternity. First, the headship hierarchy. Explicit. Quote, "But I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." End quote. The argument. Inference. This passage appears to establish a layered structure of authority. Just as man is described as the head of woman, God is described as the head of Christ. View A reads this not as a temporary role during the incarnation, but as a continuing order. Trinitari Iuns respond that this reflects functional roles, not a difference in essence. That disagreement is logged for later adjudication. Second, the God of Jesus data, explicit. Even after the resurrection and exaltation, Jesus and the apostles still refer to the Father as the God of Jesus. Quote, "Jesus said, 'Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" End quote. Quote, "The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God." End quote. Quote, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom." End quote. The argument, inference, taken together, these statements repeatedly describe the Father as my God in relation to Jesus. View A argues that if a being has a God over him, then that being cannot be the supreme God in the absolute sense. The repeated possessive language suggests continuing subordination, not merely temporary submission. Section 2.3, the immutability conflicts. The source code describes God with certain attributes. He cannot be tempted, he cannot die, and his knowledge is unlimited. View A argues that Jesus fails these tests if taken in a strict sense. First, the temptation conflict, explicit. Quote, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone." End quote. Compare with Jesus, explicit. Quote, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin." End quote. The argument, inference. The reasoning runs as a syllogism. 1. God cannot be tempted. 2. Jesus was tempted in every way. 3. Therefore, Jesus cannot be God in the absolute sense. Skeptic aware note, inference. Trinitare Iuns respond that Jesus is both fully God and fully man, and that temptation applies to his human nature. View A replies that scripture itself does not explicitly frame the issue in terms of two natures. That debate is logged for later testing. Second, the nature change conflict, explicit. Quote, "I, the Lord, do not change." End quote. The argument, inference. View A argues that if the Word became flesh, that represents a change in state. If God does not change, how can the incarnation occur? This becomes what View A calls the immutability problem. Third, the omniscience conflict, explicit. Quote, "Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit." End quote. Audit note, inference. A being who grows in wisdom appears different from one whose knowledge has no limit. View A treats this as another attribute, mismatch. Fourth, the mortality conflict, explicit. Quote, "God the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light." End quote. The argument, inference. If God alone is immortal and Jesus truly dies, then Jesus cannot be identical with that immortal being. Trinitare e uns respond that the divine nature remains immortal even if the human nature dies. Again, this is logged for later testing. Section 2.4, the agency model. The Sha-Li-Ach principle. View A proposes that the strongest explanation for Jesus' authority language is not identity, but agency. The Sha-Li-Ach concept, citation. In Second Temple Judaism, a legal agent could speak and act with the sender's authority. The agent could even be treated as if he were the sender, without being identical in being. The accredited man explicit, quote, "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know." End quote. Quote, "The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work." End quote. The argument, inference. These statements depict God working through Jesus. View A argues this matches the agency model closely. Under this reading, Jesus functions as the supreme prophet and agent, not as the architect himself. Section 2.5, the origin texts. View A interpretation. View A interprets several passages to mean that Jesus had a beginning. First, yeah. The wisdom controversy, explicit. Quote, "The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works before his deeds of old." End quote. Audit note, inference. View A identifies this personified wisdom with the pre-existent Christ and reads the verb as created. View B argues the passage is poetic and cannot override explicit New Testament statements that place the Son on the creator side of the divide. Second, the firstborn argument, explicit, quote, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation," end quote. Audit note, inference. View A reads firstborn literally as the first created being. View B notes that firstborn often means heir or supreme ruler rather than first in time, and points to other uses of the term where chronology is not intended. Third, the creation commencement, explicit, quote, "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation," end quote. Audit note, inference. View A reads this as first created. View B reads it as source or origin. The Greek term allows both possibilities, so context must decide. Summary of View A, the subordinationist position rests on what it calls the principle of identity. If God and Jesus have non-overlapping attributes, immortality versus death, unlimited knowledge versus growth, untemptability versus temptation, and if Jesus has a God whom he worships, then they cannot be the same being in the strict sense. Under this model, Jesus is the Son of God, unique, holy, and exalted, but not God himself. Audit note, inference. This section does not endorse the conclusion. Its mandate is to present View A in its strongest form. Later sections will test whether View A can explain the full data set without creating contradictions. Section 3.0, Section 3. The architect configuration. View B, the logic of inclusion. View B argues that Son of God is not merely a title of function, but of identity. It claims that Jesus is the uncreated architect who entered his own creation. Under this model, the passages describing limitation must be interpreted through the incarnation, not as denial of deity. Section 3.1, the architect's signature. Eternal pre-existence. View B argues that the Son does not merely predate creation, he is the foundation of reality itself. First, the uncreated creator, explicit. Quote, "In the beginning was the Word. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made." End quote. Second, the sustainer kernel, explicit. Quote, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. End quote. Audit, note, inference. This describes not only creation, but ongoing sustaining power. View B argues that a creature cannot be the one in whom all things hold together. Third, the pre-incarnate glory explicit, quote, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began, end quote. Fourth, the eternal origin explicit, quote, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times, end quote. Audit note, inference. The Hebrew phrase used here can indicate eternity. When applied to the coming ruler, it suggests a pretemporal origin rather than a merely human starting point. Fifth, the first and the last, explicit, quote, I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. End quote. Audit note, inference. The title, first and last, is used elsewhere for Yahweh alone. Here, the same title is claimed by the risen Jesus, while also including the statement, I was dead. View B argues that this unites eternal identity with the incarnate mission in one person. Section 3.2. The I Am, Protocol, and Divine Identity. View B argues that Jesus' identity claims were understood by his original audience as claims to share in the identity of Yahweh. First, the identity match, explicit, quote, very truly I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am, end quote. This echoes the name revealed to Moses, I am who I am. Second, the blasphemy response, explicit, quote, we are not stoning you for any good work, they replied, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. End quote. Audit note, inference. Whatever modern readers debate, Jesus' original audience clearly interpreted his claims as claims to deity. Third, the unity claim, explicit. Quote, I and the Father are one, end quote. Fourth, the visibility claim, explicit. Quote, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father, end quote. Audit note, inference. This suggests more than representation. It implies identity level revelation. Fifth, the climactic confession, explicit. Quote, Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God, end quote. Audit note, inference. Jesus does not rebuke Thomas or redirect the worship. The narrative treats the confession as valid. Section 3.3, the worship protocol. The source code repeatedly states that worship belongs to Yahweh alone. Quote, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. Quote, I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not yield my glory to another. First, the universal bow, explicit. Quote, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. End quote. This language mirrors Isaiah's description of worship directed to Yahweh. Second, the angelic worship command, explicit. Quote, let all God's angels worship him. End quote. Audit note, inference. Angels are forbidden from receiving worship. If the Son were merely a creature, this command would violate the prohibition against idolatry. Third, the reworked Shema, explicit, quote, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came, and there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came. Audit note, inference. Paul places Jesus inside Israel's core monotheistic confession rather than outside it. Fourth, the celestial worship, explicit, quote, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever, end quote. Logic, inference. If Yahweh does not share his glory, yet Jesus receives Yahweh pattern worship, then either the New Testament violates monotheism, or Jesus is included within the identity of the one God. Section 3.4, the hypostatic union, two natures. View B explains the passages showing limitation by proposing that Jesus has two natures, divine and human, united in one person. First, the fullness data, explicit, quote, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, end quote. Second, the shared humanity, explicit, quote, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, quote, for this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way. Audit note, inference. These texts explain why Jesus experiences weakness, temptation, and death, not because he ceases to be divine, but because he truly becomes human. Third, the immutability transfer, explicit, quote, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, but you remain the same, and your years will never end. Audit note, inference. This Old Testament passage about Yahweh is applied directly to the Son, reinforcing his eternal identity. Fourth, the crucified Lord of glory, explicit, quote, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, end quote. Audit note, inference. Scripture speaks of the same person as both divine and crucified. This supports the idea that what is true of either nature can be said of the one person. Audit note, inference. Under this model, the incarnation does not erase the divine nature but adds a human one. View B argues that this framework best preserves the full data set without discarding any passages. Section 4.0, section 4, the glitch report, Gnostic architecture and the predator profile. Section 4.1, system overview, Gnostic architecture. Some theological systems treat the material world as the flawed creation of a lesser being. The source code rejects this idea directly. Quote, for everything God created is good. Quote, God saw all that he had made and it was very good. Quote, for by him all things were created. Audit, inference. Creation is not a mistake. The same God who rules heaven also made the physical world. Section 4.2, serpent, death, and the God lied. Objection. Some skeptics argue that because Adam and Eve did not die immediately, the serpent told the truth. Quote, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Quote, death came to all people. Audit inference. The audit reads death as multi-layered, spiritual separation, relational fracture, and eventual physical death. The process begins immediately, even if the physical end comes later. Section 4.3, architect versus demiurge. The source code repeatedly insists there is only one creator. Quote, through him all things were made. Quote, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Quote, you alone are the Lord. You made the heaven, the earth, and the seas. Audit inference. These passages leave no room for a second inferior creator. The same architect is responsible for all levels of reality. Section 4.4, predator profile. Quote, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Quote, he was a murderer from the beginning and the father of lies. Audit inference. A being defined by deception and destruction cannot be the true God of light. Scripture portrays the adversary as a saboteur, not a liberator. Section 4.5, metaphysical parasitism. Audit, inference. Evil does not create, it corrupts. It depends on good categories and distorts them. This explains why deception often looks like truth at first glance. Section 5.0, section 5, the system restore. Section 5.1, the algorithm of ascent. The contrast between rebellion and humility becomes central. Quote, I will ascend to the heavens. Quote, who being in very nature, God, made himself nothing. Quote, humble yourselves that he may lift you up. Audit inference. The path to exaltation is not self-exaltation, but humility. Jesus's descent becomes the model for restoration. Section 5.2, true versus false knowledge. Quote, this is eternal life that they know you. Quote, knowledge puffs up while love builds up. Quote, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Audit, inference. The system does not reject knowledge. It rejects knowledge pursued apart from relationship with the source. Section 5.3, the definition of liberty. Quote, they promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves. Quote, the truth will set you free. Quote, the perfect law that gives freedom. Audit inference. Freedom is not the absence of structure, but the ability to operate as designed. Section 5.4, conclusion. The final fork. Quote, those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Quote, we shall be like him. Quote, we are being transformed into his image. Audit note inference. The goal is restoration, not replacement. The image of God renewed, not discarded. Quote, if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he will also give life to your mortal bodies. Audit, inference. The plan is resurrection and renewal of the physical world, not escape from it. Quote, he has given us promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. Guardrail, inference. Participation in the divine nature does not erase the creator-creature distinction. It means sharing in God's life by grace, not becoming independent gods. The final verdict. The serpent's promise. You will be like God. Method, rebellion. Result, fragmentation and death. The gospel's promise, participate in the divine nature. Method, union with Christ. Result, restoration and life. Final implication, inference. The only safe path to becoming like God is the one provided by the architect himself. Every other route eventually collapses. Thank you for listening. Please like and subscribe and visit quantumdisciple.com for more Christian research. Quantum Disciple out.